Morning, church. How is everybody this morning? Do you know what my worst nightmare is? Preparing a message, getting your notes together, and then losing the notes right before you preach. It just happened 2 seconds ago. Fortunately, I did have a remembrance that they were in the washroom. I left them there. Well, I hope that's not going to be the tenor of the rest of this message this morning, but we're going to trust the Lord to help us with what God is going to do in our hearts today. I'm going to begin with a true story. The time era was the 1960s. The location was a farmhouse on a farm near a little town called Avonhurst, which is about a 45-minute drive here from Regina, northeast from Regina. And in the living room of that farmhouse hung a picture of a robin and a sparrow depicted as if in conversation. And it was often viewed all by who lived in the house, but became special to one of the little boys who would ask his mother about the picture. And from time to time, his mother would read the poem that was on the picture, which went like this. You should see it on the screen as well. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." The mother would explain the poem's meaning to the little boy, and that boy was me, who is still learning and growing in his understanding of that simple yet profound teaching depicted in that poem. And this poem finds its roots in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Let me read that to you now. "For this very reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, but they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm going to show you a slide of a man. Can you identify with this guy on the screen? All of us have had moments of seasons in our lives where we could identify with this man pulling out his hair. Perhaps that's why I am the way I am today. Someone has said that as believers, we need to become comfortable with uncertainty. And worry tends to focus on the apprehension of the uncertainty of the future. Things like money, what if I don't have enough? Like family, what if I can't find a spouse? What if I do find a spouse? What if we can't have children? What if we can? What if we have too many kids? What if we can't afford to have kids? What if I'm a bad parent? Things like career, what if I can't figure out what to do with my life? What if I can? What if I can't afford the training? What if I fail in my career? Things like where to live, what if I can't find a place to live? If I do find a place, what if I can't afford it? So worry often asks the question, what if? Pretty near always has that in front of it. And is often followed by the question, it is not enough. What if it's not enough? And this usually is the premise of worry. It's the fear that there won't be enough. In so many ways, the spirit of fear is what drives worry. My prayer is that after this message, you will stop saying, what if? But you will start saying, even if it is not enough, I know God is enough, and that will be good enough. Let me say that to you again. Even if it's not enough, I know God is enough, and that will be good enough. Now, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Gary Williamson. I'm part of the pastoral team here at Harbor City Church. It's my privilege to share this word with you in this Master's Manifesto series, which I've really been enjoying, by the way. And I've entitled this message, Winning Over Worry. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we invite you to come into the recesses of our heart this morning, and you would reveal where we are not trusting you, Lord. And I pray that there come a revelation and an understanding of how to win over worry. That worry would no longer be our portion. That even from this service on, we'd be equipped to walk away from this place with a better understanding and a fuller revelation of how to win over worry. I decree and declare that, well, that this message will impact hearts and minds to get free from worry in Jesus' name. Amen. Over 20 years ago, I went through a season of extreme worry. It was really bad. I was working at this place called Fast Print, which is a high-pressured work environment, very tight timelines and all kinds of things going on there that was really causing me to have a lot of anxiety in my life. I would work Tuesday to Saturday, and then with Sundays and Mondays off. But I always worried about Monday, things like, what if I hadn't done enough work on Saturday? What if the staff are going to be upset with me? What if the boss is not happy with what I did? All those things were going through my mind. It was so consuming that even on Sunday mornings, I was distracted by it, could hardly pray and hardly worship. I was also experiencing OCD symptoms. I would often work at night at the print shop doing overtime, and I would be the last one to leave. I would lock up, I would drive away. 5 minutes down the road, I would have this overwhelming compulsion to turn around, go back, and check to make sure that I locked the doors. And it was really strong. I had to do it. I had to turn around and check the doors. And it was like that for week after week, month after month, and I think even a number of years I was into this. It was really bad. And then one day I was working in at Fast Print. I was working in the office on Saturday. I was just wrapping the day up, and I was beside myself in worry. I was so overwhelmed. I was just like, how many of you have ever been like that? Have you ever been overwhelmed with worry? One, two, three, okay. I guess I'm peculiar. But anyways, I'll just share that with you. I was so overwhelmed with worry, I could hardly function. And the Holy Spirit came to me, and He spoke four words, just very simply, very gently, and yet very firmly. Trust me with this. Trust me with this. And it was at that moment that I realized what I was doing wrong, that I really wasn't fully trusting Him with all my heart. I wasn't really leaning completely and totally into Him to get rid of this worry. It was like an epiphany. It was like, as Pastor Dave Wells says, the penny dropped, meaning I got revelation of what I needed to do to overcome this. It was simply to lean into Him and to trust in Him. Today, I would like you to entertain this question. What would your life look like if you never worried about anything for the rest of your life? Sounds good. What I'd like to propose to you today is that it is possible to win over worry. And I'm going to give you three major antidotes that I have found to be helpful for myself that I have started to apply to my own life since that epiphany and have been really helpful for me in overcoming worry. First thing you need to do is you need to choose to believe that God is God. In other words, He is indeed in control. Second thing you need to believe that God is good. And then the third thing you need to do is choose to believe that God cares for you personally. Before we dive into those antidotes, there are those among us who have what's called an anxiety disorder, which is biologically driven, and the chemical imbalances need also to be addressed in order to win over worry. But for the purpose of this message, we're going to be addressing the spiritual nature of worry. So let's begin with the first one. Believe that God is God. We need to believe that God is indeed ruling over the universe and everything in it. In other words, you must believe that God is sovereignly overseeing your life from the moment of conception to the moment you breathe your last. Scripture says, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together." How many things? All things. That includes all your things. He's holding it together. God is a place for everything, and everything is in its place, and this includes the good and the bad and the ugly of your life. Anxiety says it's all flying apart, but God said, "No, I've got it all together." Maybe feel like everything's falling apart, but the truth of the matter is that God is holding it all together. Therefore, you have no reason to worry. Letting God be God in your life makes room for Him to grant you peace. You see, Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega of our lives. He starts it, He finishes it, and He's in control of it. He's overseeing every part of it, even the smallest detail of it. And so therefore we can trust Him. And when we reflect and meditate upon His character, that of omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence and eternal nature, we can begin to see God as God. And so need for worry. You're in the palm of His hand, this all-powerful, all-knowing, this all-present and eternal God who is orchestrating your life and those around you so that you have no need to worry at all. When you reflect upon the Lord like this, you gain an eternal perspective, and the things of this life, then they just don't worry you as much. I want to share some lyrics from a song called Be Okay by Lauren Daigle and Ellie Holcomb. The backstory of this song was that Ellie Holcomb was in communication with a little girl who had a terminal illness, and she was asking Ellie really hard questions and trying to find out some answers to what was going on. And one of the little girls' email that she sent to Ellie said, "The Lord has brought you into my life to teach me how to die. And the Lord has brought me into your life to teach you how to live." And it's true. Until you really have a sense of the end date of your life, you really don't know how to live. And if you really know that there's an end date, there's an expiry date, then it teaches us really how to live well. The song is really written with the perspective that as believers in Jesus Christ, who is in charge of everything, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Worry says, no, it's not going to be okay. Whatever you're worrying about, that's what it says. It's not going to be all right. Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to be bad. But when you put your full weight of trust in Jesus, in the sovereign God, the Lord Jesus Christ, every little thing is going to be all right. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics to the song, And just think about them. He says, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Oh, the sun will keep on rising in that old familiar way, and every little thing is going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I know that you're going to be okay. Not a care in this world can take that truth away. So where he says, you know, you're not going to be okay. Wait a minute. No, I'm going to be okay. I'm trusting my Jesus. You're going to be all right, darling. He says, darling, you're going to be all right. Listen, Heavenly Father comes to you today, says, son, daughter, you're going to be all right. If you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to be just fine. Relax, chill. At the end of all our prayer, she goes on to say, when we're beckoned unto the light, love will meet you there. You're going to be all right. Oh, the end of all our prayers is the beginning of new life. You're going to be all right. So the song was written to a little girl who was passing away in words that she could understand. And we take it to the next level. Said, you know, I can apply that to my life. I know I'm going to be okay because of who I know. In truth, God takes your whole life, however short or long it is, and weaves it together, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and brings it to a glorious conclusion. So you know it's going to be okay. And when you have an eternal perspective, you can apply that to your day-to-day living and win over worry. Doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Doesn't matter what's happening to your life. Doesn't matter what you've done wrong in your life. It don't matter what's going on. If you come back to Jesus, if you give your life and surrender your life over to Jesus, it's all going to turn out fine in the end. Just relax. It's all going to be good. And because God is sovereign, He finishes what He starts. You know, there's a season in my life that back in 1984, I just graduated from Bible college. I was hired on here at the church to teach in the Bible school, to minister at the print shop, and to be involved in many different aspects of ministry. And I was living my dream. I thought, this is great. I've finally arrived at what God wanted me to do with my life. And then 1987 happened. We had a huge leadership crisis. And I had quit ministry, go find a work in the secular field, which was ended up at Fast Sprint. And I was in a tailspin. I said, what's going on? I have no clue. I can't figure out how can this be part of God's plan for my life? And God had me on a 19-year journey, and He worked in my heart, and He worked in my character, and He did things in my life. But in the midst of it all, I was confused, and I was reeling back and forth, and I was worried about my future. And I said, how am I supposed to get back into full-time ministry with my calling and fulfill what God wanted me to do with my life? And I was just reeling. And then one day I had a conversation with Pastor Dave about this topic, and he gave me a verse of Scripture which has really been a life-changing Scripture for me. And it's this, Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, oh man, what's my future all about? What's going to happen? And you're all concerned about it. I'm here to tell you, the Lord will accomplish it. He will accomplish that which concerns you. You have no need for worry. All you have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all will be added to your life, what God wants in your life, and it's going to be good. You have to choose to believe that. You have to choose to put your faith in God, knowing that He truly is God and in charge of all things that concern you. You have to believe that He has your best interest in mind. And Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. The Lord is mightily working in our lives. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. But that is what He's doing. And He's creating and writing your story from the beginning to the end. And He will finish it. He will accomplish it. As you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you can be fully confident that He will finish what He started in you. Someone has said this, and we don't know who the author is. God is already working out what you're worrying about. If you find yourself worrying and stewing about something, just know this. God's already working on it. He's already taking care of it. Long before you even started worrying about it, actually. That's the sovereignty of the Lord. God does not want you to worry about your future because He is already working it out. I do not have to worry about my spiritual life or my ministry or my family or my job or my home or my, well, you fill in the blank. God's got it. All I have to do is keep surrendering my life to His Lordship and all will be well. All you have to do is choose to believe that God is in control of your life from the moment of conception to the time of the final breath, and then worry won't have a grip on you. The second thing you need to do. So the first thing, believe that God is God. Second thing, second antidote, is to believe that God is good. Scripture says the Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. See, the Lord never makes mistakes concerning us. So you don't have to worry. Yes, you're going to have to go through some challenging things. Yes, you're going to have to face some trials. Yes, some of those trials and things are really, really hard and overwhelming and heart-wrenching at times. But when you have the perspective that God never makes mistakes and He's always good toward you, it changes everything. It just changes everything. You can rest, and no matter what state you are in, you don't have to worry. You can just rest and be at peace. Life is unfair, true, but God is good is a lesson that I learned many years ago as well, and it's been one of the best lessons to overcoming worry. Really has helped me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners, or I put in brackets, worriers, in the way. He instructs worriers in the way. You're being instructed this morning. Did you know that? The three or four of you that said that you worry, you're being instructed today. I'm instructing myself. I'm preaching to myself today, and I was really reminded about this message. And the other day, I was really worrying about my kids. They're adult children now, but your parents, you still worry about them, right? You still have that concern and stuff, and I found myself worrying about the children, and then I caught myself. I said, you know, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do this, and so I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, they're your kids. They're your kids. You deal with them. You help them. You minister to them. God is good. And all things will work together for my good and His glory. And then the third thing you have to apply to your life as an antidote to worry is to believe that God cares for you personally. The revelation that God truly loves you with a love incomprehensible will cast out all fear because what? Love casts out fear. It will cast out your worry when you really reflect upon it. Let me share another true story with you. It's found in the Gospel of Mark. You know the story well. The disciples, they're in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. A storm comes up. It's a bad one. And the waves are high. The boat's filling with water. Jesus is still sleeping. And the disciples, let's just read this last part here. Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Do you not care, Lord? How many of you asked God? How many said that to God? Has anybody said that, Lord, do you really care about me right now? I mean, things aren't going so good. You see, they said that we are perishing, and that's probably true. I mean, they're a fisherman. They know when the boat's going down, right? They know when they're about to drown. And they're on the brink of dying. And so, and so they wake up Jesus with the question, do you not care? What's the answer? Yes, God cares. Gone to the cross, shed His blood. I think He cares so that we be free from sin. Absolutely He cares. And then He did respond, and He calmed the seas, and everything went perfectly calm. And then He said to them, He challenged them, why are you afraid? How come you're afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Sometimes he said, he addressed the littleness of their faith, but they were bankrupt of faith right here. There was none whatsoever. It's because they really, truly, at this point in time, were not fully believing that God was caring for them. The point is, God cares. And this is the illustration of the story. All you have to do is trust Him. Whatever it is, whatever boat you're getting into, if you got Jesus in that boat, you have no reason to worry. When you got Christ in your boat, if you got Christ indwelling in your life, you have no reason to worry. It doesn't matter how bad the storm gets. You can relax. You can trust. You can let go. They did not see Jesus as caring for them during one of their worst nightmares. In the middle of the storms, our life can be tempted to believe that God is aloof in our suffering, but that is not true. That is not true. If you believe that God does not care, your anxiety will go through the roof. You have to believe that God cares for you. Don't let the storms of your life bring you to the conclusion that God does not care. Just because God seems aloof does not mean that He is. God is just working out what you're worrying about in His timing and in His way. Relax. Chill. God has got it. Peter learned this after time, and he writes this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Peter's audience had much to be anxious about, because they were under Nero and that great persecution at that time. Peter was just telling them, don't worry about it. If you get persecuted, rejoice. Don't worry about it. Just cast your anxiety upon the Lord. All is going to be good. And when we believe that God cares for us on a personal level, then we can do the following things. First of all, we can cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. The word cast there is the Hebrew word shalach, and it means to throw, means to cast, and it means to hurl. Therefore, we're to fling our cares. When you get a care or a worry going on in your spirit, just take it and throw it at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is just waiting there to take it. Come on, guys. Throw it to me. Come on. Just give me your cares. Give me your worries. I'll carry them for you. I'll take care of them for you. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing is nothing, right? If there is a one thought in your mind that is worrisome, it shouldn't be there. You need to take it by prayer to the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, I got this anxious thought. And that's what I did when I was worrying about my kids. I said, Lord, I'm worrying about my kids. So, Lord, here they are. I am not to worry about them. I'm leaving them at your feet. Thank you that you take care of them for me, that you're caring about them. I don't have to worry about them. I'm leaving them with you. And walk away from it. And that gets me free. That has brought me freedom. I don't have to worry about anything. No anxious thought. Every anxious thought, bring it captive to Christ through prayer with thanksgiving, and you'll be free from worry. You'll have peace that surpasses natural reasoning, and you'll be guarded from further worry. It takes practice to do this. I remember when I was trying to overcome that OCD tendency, and I was driving away from the print shop. 5 minutes later, I got to turn back. I had with everything in me, I said, no, I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to trust the Lord with this thing. I'm going to trust the Lord with this. And I would drive home, and finally some peace would come. And then I'd find out the next day, indeed, the door was not unlocked. But you got to keep practicing it. In conclusion, worry starts with the question, what if? Faith answers, even if. So what? God's got it. God's in control. Don't have to worry about it. Why? Because by faith, I choose to believe that God is God. He is who He says He is. He's in complete control. Because by faith, I choose to believe that God is good. Even when life's unfair, He's going to work all things out for my good and His glory. No problem. Because by faith, I choose to believe that God cares for me. Knowing this, I can cast all my worries upon the Lord through prayer and embrace this concluding scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Or in other words, He'll make your path smooth, or He's going to direct your life. Everything's going to be all right. Okay. Every little thing is going to be all right. And we just have to live to that for the rest of our days. You can't get free from worry. Stand with me, please. The Bible also says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Blessed means, oh, how happy. You want to be happy? You know, the old song says, don't worry, be happy. This is how you be happy. Trust Him. Trust Him with this. Whatever this is to you, trust Him with it, with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. In other words, don't lean into worry. If you lean on your understanding, it will be worry. Lean into the Lord. Trust Him. Give everything that you have that's concerning you over to Him. Anatoly, you'd be welcome to come and give some piano background too. I'd like us to pray together. What I want to do, we're going to make a declarative prayer over your lives as a congregation, and then release you, and then open the altar for anyone who would like to come for prayer, for personal prayer, for any need. So let's pray together. Jesus, we thank You that You are in control of all things. Every little thing is under Your watchful eye. And You are orchestrating our lives, even when we don't know it, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't sense it, or even when we don't think You are, but You are. And so, Lord, I declare Your power over the spirit of fear which drives worry in our lives, and I declare it broken in the name of Jesus, that it shall not have grip on our lives anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare the enemy's strongholds of worry to be torn down. These strongholds of worry to be torn down in the name of Jesus Christ. They will not have anything to do in our life. All anxiety gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare it to be so. From this day forward, Harvest City Church will be known as a people that walk in total freedom from worry. We declare that we shall surrender all to You, Lord, knowing that You are God, knowing that You are good, and knowing that You care. Amen. Now you're welcome to go. Get your kids if you need to. Get the cookies. I bless you. If you're new here, please take advantage of our welcome table. We've got a gift bag for you. And if you would like prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Don't need to stack the chairs. If anyone needs prayer for any reason, I'll be glad to pray for you and others around.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.